Hello there. Oh, let me start my watch. It's almost time to start Phil's Radio Shack watch. Carla Jo, I don't even know your last name, do I?
Well, it's officially Thompson, but you can, you know, whatever.
Thompson, Carla Jo Thompson. And in the, you know, the first thing I want to do, but before you forget it, I want you to tell me if Saturday was your birthday, and you want to tell them, you want to tell them which birthday or not?
It was my 43rd.
43rd birthday. If I was 43, I wouldn't be ashamed of it either. Tell us.
I like where I am.
Tell us what you did on your birthday before you forget it.
Oh, let's see. My daughter and her boyfriend came in from out of town from Waco on Friday afternoon, and we cooked out here at the house Friday evening and had a big time. And then Saturday, we all just piddled around, and then my kids came back with a spa package and a Tower of Power Greatest Hits CD for me. So, but the spa package is really, I've never had the full massage and the full facial and all that, so I was really excited about that.
Well, what is a Tower of Power CD? Tell me what that is. What is that?
You don't know who Tower of Power is?
No.
Tower of Power is a 70s band, you know, with the horns and everything.
Okay. All right.
Anyway. I like them. We have a very eclectic musical family. Everybody likes 8 million different things, and everybody has 8 million different things. So, I like them. They're funky. They're just funky music, you know. And then Saturday night, we headed out to our favorite hangout, and there ended up being 7 of us girls. And I had a $50 girls night out gift certificate to this certain place called City Limits. And if you ever get down here or up here, wherever.
All right.
It's got one of the greatest chicken fried steaks, one of the greatest burgers. So, and we started off there, and then we moved down the street to a place called Luke's, and they had a live band that night, and it was very, very fun. And we wrapped up around 1 and dragged our happy selves home.
But just girls, just girls is all that.
Well, the guy showed up later on to drive us home.
Where was your husband all this time?
Pardon me?
Where was your husband all this time?
He was here at the house. They were all here at the house watching the Ranger game and drinking free beer out of the beer fridge.
Okay.
So they were all pretty. They knew that they were probably going to have to come pick us up. So.
And sure enough, they did.
Yeah, they showed up and drove us all home. So to our appointed places. And actually, when they came in, we were all up on the dance floor, all of us girls dancing, and they got a big kick out of that, and it was time to go home. So,
well, you're just having too much fun, Carla.
I've had a blast the last couple of weekends, and now it's time to buckle down and get to work. So,
now the weekend 2 weeks ago was your 25th class reunion, 25 class
25,
reunion.
25, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And that was a real blast.
So you had a big party then, party on your you're just a kind of a middle-aged party girl. That's
well, right now it kind of seems like that. Doesn't
it does,
it?
Doesn't it? But your kids are. You have any children at home anymore?
Clint, he's 19. He just graduated from high school. He was my late bloomer. So he's still here.
Now is he
asked me what I wanted for my birthday, and I told him I wanted him to grow up and move out, but you know,
don't count on it.
With this one, Emily was ready to pack her bags and take off. Clint, he likes living with mama and daddy. You know, he's quite content.
Now, is he going to college in the fall, or what is he going to do?
No, he hasn't decided what he's going to do, so we're not going to pressure him. He's not much of a scholastic guy. Emily was always real gung-ho and straight A's, and Clint's just kind of whatever. Clint has a couple of learning disabilities, and he struggled through school quite a bit. So, and Clint needs to mature some. You know, he's just your typical guy.
Yeah. Okay, so you know, you—it's really funny because you sound like any other parent that would be raising children and partying and having fun, and you just sound like you don't. Why, we'd never know you were blind if we didn't know that, would we?
Well, not until you watch them run into something, you know.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get back to your childhood. When you were a little girl, you could see. Could you ever see perfectly or as well as the other kids?
Yeah, probably at the ages of 4, 5, and 6. But then it started to diminish very, very, very gradually. You know, first of all, it started off having to have reading glasses, you know, and then glasses all the time. And then by the time I was 9, I couldn't see the chalkboard in the schoolroom. I couldn't read the small print. I could still function and get around because my problem was the small print and the things far away. I couldn't distinguish, you know, small things. And my grades began to really drop because I was always, I had very good grades. I was always in trouble. On the part of your report card where it said works without disturbing others, I always got the U for unsatisfactory. I've always been very social. But I was a big reader, come from a family of readers, so reading was very encouraged in our family. And so when those grades began to drop off, my parents were like, okay, red flag, big red flag. And then I had a very wonderful teacher in the fourth grade named Mrs. Burris, and she started really picking up on things.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't really aware of what was going on. I knew what I couldn't see, but I didn't tell anybody. It was just kind of like, it was so gradual. And I was very frustrated. I was very, you know, I would sit down with this piece of paper, one of those purple mimeograph ones, and I would just fill in the blanks and do anything. I would just write in anything, and then I would hand it in, and then I would, you know, and I would try to blow it off. And so that was when they got the really big heads up that there was something really, really wrong.
Yeah.
My parents started taking me to everybody they could find, started reading everything they could find, trying to figure out, you know, what was going on.
What's wrong with our little girl?
Exactly.
Yeah.
What's the deal? And then it got to where I didn't want to go back to school. I was afraid to go back to school, and my parents pretty much said, you know, this is life, and you're going to have to go. And they did it in a very loving, supportive way, but they were very firm. And I didn't realize then so much now, especially as a parent, the agony that my parents went through, you know, realizing that there was nothing they could do for me, you know, but they had to yet prepare me for life, you know, in essence. And so I went back to school. I was the only legally blind kid here in Denison. I had large print textbooks. My parents worked with me a great deal. And they, you know, they still couldn't figure out what was wrong. First of all, it was, you know, juvenile macular degeneration, which is rare for, you know, for a juvenile, but especially one that young. And then they started putting together the family history of retinitis pigmentosa in our family. But I did not have any of the classic RP symptoms. I didn't have the tunnel vision. I didn't have, you know, mine was very, very patchy. And I could still do colors and all of that. You know, that was no problem. It was just the things far away and distinguishing the small items.
At that point in time, you were legally blind.
Yes.
And this was...
By the time I was 9, it was... To the legally blind point.
But you didn't want to go back to school because you didn't want to be different from the other kids.
Right, because I was, and I was, you know, and I was changing, and I didn't know what was changing. You know, it was so gradual. It was so, And then when you do realize, hey, I am different, you know. But I look back now and I realize how wise my parents were, because there was talk of sending me to Austin to school for the blind.
Yeah.
And, you know, I realize now that they, in fact, did make the right decision, you know. And they would have done whatever was best for me at that point. But I managed. I managed quite well, actually.
But you now realize the agony that your parents went through trying to make a decision and trying to do what was best for their child, who obviously had an eye problem that they couldn't do anything about.
Right. And just as a parent, you know, you would always,
yeah,
you would do the right thing if you just knew what the right thing was to,
yeah,
do.
I know.
You know, and so it's like, what's best for her? You know, yes, selfishly they wanted to keep me with them, as I don't blame them. But then again, they were willing to do, you know. But the decision was made that I stay here. And I look back now and I realize my parents must have really gone to a lot of school meetings, a lot of, here's what my kid needs, here's what we're going to do, you know. And, of course, back then we didn't have, and they told me then I couldn't learn Braille. I still had way too much vision. So I did a lot of large print books. My dad read and put stuff on tape for me all the way through college. My dad did that for me. I had teachers who would put me out in the hall with a desk with a friend, and they would read my test to me. You know, privately, things like that,
mm-hmm,
you know, all kinds of accommodations. I was really very fortunate. I was never in a special ed class. I fell underneath the special ed umbrella just because of the type of educational devices I was using.
Mm-hmm.
But I was always mainstreamed. I was always in a regular classroom. It didn't get me out of PE or anything like that.
No, none of the good stuff. But this is in the same town. This is Denison, Texas, isn't it?
Yes.
And that's the same town where you still live, reside.
Yes. Yes.
Which is,
so,
yeah,
all the way through school, you know, that was the way. And then when I hit high school, I couldn't drive, which it was okay, you know. I've learned now that if you're a blind teenage boy, that makes a big difference on going out on dates and stuff. But I was very active in high school. I was in the flag corps that marched with the band, and I counted off, and I twirled my flag just like the rest of them. But I did a lot of counting, a lot of, you know, as far as things like that. My parents were always so supportive. If I wanted to try something, they were right there with me, you know, and I was very lucky like that. I was, you know, a sweetheart in our homecoming parade. I didn't miss out. I didn't miss out on anything.
I was going to say, you're doing your flag, to look down on the field from the stands, you'd never know that one of those children was legally blind.
Oh, yeah, you'd never know.
You'd never know that.
But, you know, I practiced, you know, just like everybody else did. And, you know, I really didn't see myself as that different at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I was quirky, maybe. I was voted most original of my graduating class.
Now, wait a minute.
With you, I did milk it for all it was worth from time to time.
you say that you were voted most original in your graduating class. How did one earn that honor? Dubious though it may be, I love it.
Probably because I have a very bizarre sense of humor. I wore T-shirts. One of them said, "Blind athletes are out of sight."
Yeah.
I really marched to my own drum, I suppose, but I don't know. I mean, you know, that was just one of those who's who for the class of 1980, and I got voted most original girl. So,
do you have Dale's Blind Rifleman's Association T-shirt?
Not yet.
But you need one of those.
That's part of my birthday money is going to. I've already decided that I'm getting one of those.
That's good. That you will get a lot of comments.
I know. That's on my list. I already have that written down. So.
Yeah, as one of the things you need. But high school was great fun for you, wasn't it?
I had a blast. I had an absolute blast. I had lots of very supportive friends. I had a very good time. I had good teachers. I had understanding administrative staff. I was in the drama club. I got best actress. I loved being on stage. And I had a blast doing that.
And
I was very active in high school.
And we talk infinitum on this program about whether it's best to go to a blind school or public school, or how it is best to treat blind children. Had they sent you to the blind school, you would have missed all those fun, wonderful experiences.
Yeah, but I probably would have had some others.
Yeah.
Just a different type.
That's true.
I just think it's a matter of what you make it. I could have just as easily sat in a desk and not participated and not done anything, no matter what school I went to. That's the way I look at it.
Well, of course, there are kids that go to public school, quote unquote, who have a very isolated experience, who don't have the fun that you had. In my estimation, you made your high school fun because of you. Just listening and talking to you, you did that.
Yeah, and I have great friends. Which 25 years later, I still have. I had a blast. I was a leading role on several of our plays in high school, and I really enjoyed that. I didn't have any special talents. I wasn't an outstanding singer in the concert, choir or anything like that. I was just a girl having a great time.
And you made them notice you by your personality and by your sense of humor.
I didn't use a cane or anything. Mobility wise, I was fine then. So, it was just not being able to see the book, the board, the things far away, anything like that.
Now, did you date a good bit in high school? I would think yes.
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, a lot of group stuff, I dated, and I married my high school sweetheart out of high school. So,
but a lot of going out with groups and participate. I think that's what kids kind of do now. They go places together, six or eight of them, two, three or four couples.
Well, it's fun. Until you get to know somebody, and then if you want to be alone, that's fine. But my parents were kind of particular, too, about doing stuff. They didn't just give me free rein by any means.
No.
We were very active in our church, and my parents, are very good Christian people that live by their convictions, and if they said you're home at 11, you're home at 11, or your butt was grounded. They were very understanding of a lot of things, but they were, it's like, yes, you can go out with a group, but that's it. But then later on, it was okay to date one-on-one and stuff like that. But we would do things like, go to the rodeo, go to the mall and hang out. All your normal, typical drag main over and over and over. Things like that,
Yeah.
Park at the Sonic and walk from car to car yakking at everybody. So,
And you could see well enough to do that. No problem.
Yeah. Nighttime was harder, which just made it a better reason to hang on to a boy.
All right, with that, yeah, I love it. With that little statement, let's take a short break and be back in a minute. Carla is our guest from Denison, Texas. Back in a minute with more Blind Like Me. Hang on. Blind Science.
a website our crack research team certifies screen reader friendly. Now, with this week's Blind Sight, here's Tim Cummings.
This week on Blind Sites, we have another site for all of those people who love listening to radio stations over the internet. This website is called blindradio.com. It's very accessible. I'd give it a screen reader friendliness rating of a 10. And you can look at up stations by category in terms of what type of music they play, stations from all over the world, and it's a very nice site. The URL is www.blindradio.com. And for Blind Sites, this is Tim Cummings saying, keep on blind sighting.
If you found a screen reader friendly website you'd like us to mention, send your email to blindlikeme, all one word, at txucom.net. And join us again next time for Blind Sights. Are you on the Blind Like Me list?
And I have made a lot of new friends on the Blind Like Me list that I'll never forget.
Well, them crazy people on that Blind Like Me list just talk about the silliest thing.
To join the Blind Like Me list, send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Okay, I love being on the Blind Like Me list, because I'm the moderator, and I get to delete people if I want to.
If you enjoy chatting with other blind folks, come join us on the Blind Like Me list. Send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. Happy Carla was our guest today from Denison, Texas. We met Carla on our Blind Like Me list. She is a contributor to the Blind Like Me list, and if you're not on that list, you should be. It is a list without a topic. We have no set topic or nothing there that you can't talk about. We try to keep it fairly clean. Of course, we have Boop on there, so keeping it fairly clean is a job. So, only kidding, Boop. But she doesn't listen. She never listens. Anyway, we met Carla, came and joined our Blind Like Me list. How did you hear about Blind Like Me? How did you get on that list?
I'm trying to remember that myself when we started talking about it, because it hasn't really been that long. I think I joined around December. So I think I did a Google search for Blind List, and I didn't want, you know, blind singles and, you know, all this other stuff. And when you open up Google, man, it hands you everything. And
sure.
I read a bunch of synopses on different groups and checked them out and stuff, and I thought, this one is really cool. And it was. I've really enjoyed this list.
Yeah.
And I'd never done any email lists before either. So I've really... That one and the Cooking in the Dark and the Reading Club for the Blind are really my favorites. And... The Blind Like Me people are just outrageous. I just love them.
Yeah, it's the best list I've ever seen in terms of just talking about general things. And actually, we actually learn something occasionally. Somebody will put some useful information.
All the time.
Yeah.
You know, people like Ray and Jewel and Dan and, I mean, yeah, it's very eclectic. It's very
fun. It is. Now, high school was great for you. You went to Denison High School. What do they call your high school in Denison? What is it called?
It's the only one, so it's Denison High.
So it's Denison High. The Denisons.
Home of the Fighting Yellow Jackets.
Oh, home of the Fighting Yellow Jackets. Well, good. And there goes my watch. It's 10 o'clock our time. Now, high school is over. What did you think as a senior? Did you realize then that someday you would not be able to see? Had it dawned on you yet?
No, because at first they had told my parents I would be totally blind by the time I was 16. Well, when that didn't happen and I didn't have any other changes in my vision, I thought, well, this is the way it's going to be forever. So
yeah.
I married my high school sweetheart and set up housekeeping. He had a very good paying job at that time, and money was no biggie deal. But I'm not a real materialistic person anyway.
But you decided not to go to college, not to try to further your education?
I did at that point. And I think I disappointed a few people, but I was also, hindsight's 20/20. I look back now and I realize how immature I was.
Yeah.
But I did that, and then in 83, I had Emily. And then in 86, I had Clint. And then in 87, I got a divorce.
Really? So, no kidding. So there you were in 87. You would have been, you were born in 63, I think, 62 to 82. So you were 25 years old, legally blind with two children.
Yes. And I had moved out of my father's house and moved in with my husband. And I had never lived on my own. And I moved into this little house that I'm in right now in town. And lived by myself with two little kids.
But you had to get a job, didn't you?
Not at that point, I didn't. I was fortunate enough that between child support and things like this, I could manage.
And government assistance, and, yeah.
So I was quite freaked out. I live across the street from an elementary school where both my kids attended. And I'm in the middle of town. Earlier, when I was living with my parents, we were in the country right outside of town. So this was really beneficial. Once again, very supportive friends and family around me, helping me with grocery shopping, you know, things like that. And that was when I decided to go back and go to college.
When you first started this, I thought this is going to be a happily ever after story, but it wasn't. You 27 years old, 25 years old, you got a divorce. The marriage dissolved.
Right. It was not a happily ever after.
No, it really wasn't, was it? I thought it was going to be. So there you are, 25 years old, divorced, living by yourself, on your own, with two small children.
Right. And I decided that I was going to go to college.
Then you decided you'd go to college.
Right.
Okay.
So, off she goes. And we have a college here called Grayson County College where you can get a lot of your basics out of the way. And I was very freaked out, but I thought, come this far, might as well, you know, in for a penny, in for a pound. So,
yeah.
Off I went, and absolutely loved it. I could be a professional student. I really, really enjoyed school.
Okay.
I mean, because then I was mature enough, I could step up and tell this instructor, hello, my name's Carla, I'm legally blind, here's the things that I can do, here's what I can't do, and here's what I need from you in order to make my college career a success.
Okay.
And that's, you know, pretty much what I did. And I had very adaptable people. But I also didn't sit back and expect someone just to hand me an A. How lovely would that have been? But
yeah.
I earned every B I got, I'll tell you right now, and a few of my C's. But, you know, that was the single best decision I've ever made, was
to go back to school. Now, your divorce, was it, of course, divorces are divorces. I've had a couple, and I know how they go. But was yours was basically amicable? I mean, are you and your ex husband on speaking terms or not?
Yes, yes. It wasn't amicable at the time.
Yeah.
But through maturing, both of us maturing and getting, you know, along farther. Yeah, we're to that point now. But there was a long period of time there where he backed out of the picture, you know. He had some problems of his own, and I struggled for a long time. The child support quit.
Yeah.
I, you know, went on assistance to get by, to make sure my kids were fed and everything else, and which you do what you got to do. And, you know, and I realize now, and I resented it at the time, but I realize now how that also helped me learn and add character, I think, now. You know, that things have ironed themselves out in a very weird way. You know, a lot of times if you just hand stuff over to that higher being, things have a way of working out. And
well, the normal thing at your age, 25 with two children and legally blind, would have been to move back with your parents.
Oh, no.
But you didn't.
No, they offered. But
well, I'm sure they did.
I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to do that to them either. You know, for the first time, they had an empty nest. And, you know, and I just didn't think that would be... I just wasn't going to do that.
Okay, but so, at that time, you still had enough sight to function some. To get around and your travel while you couldn't drive the car, you were in town, and what did you just walk to the grocery store? You had friends, you said, that took you places, right?
Yeah, friends and family helped me out with the grocery store and things like that. And at this point, I also had a CCTV. Do we want to go into what a CCTV is?
Well, yeah, I think everybody knows. Most people know what a CCTV is. CCTV is a camera attached to a television screen that enlarges print or enlarges anything you want to take a picture of. It will make that picture 5-10 times larger than it is.
Right.
And so,
I wrote my checks, paid my bills, did stuff like that using the CCTV. You know, all of those things were very, I did that with that machine. I had different types of lighted magnifiers. I got my college textbooks on tape. You know, I had a lot of stuff through Commission for the Blind at that point. That was when I got my first computer.
Okay.
That had Zoom text on it, which was very cool.
Yeah. Now, what did you decide?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
What did you decide to study in college? What did you think you could make a living doing?
I had no idea.
Really?
So I decided I would just go and take my basics, which is what everybody said to do anyway, you know, and then kind of see how you feel where you're going. So then I decided that I was going to go into communications. And everybody said, oh, a disc jockey. And I said, no, I don't want to be a disc jockey. I want to be the PR person, the one that sets up, you know, the remotes and all this kind of stuff. So that was the route I was going. And then I met a friend in school named Lori, and she was going to go to East Texas out in Commerce. So I started going to East Texas State University in Commerce, Texas.
You took your children and moved to Commerce.
Oh, no, I commuted.
Oh, is it close enough? I didn't realize Commerce was close enough to...
Yeah, it's close enough.
And so,
it's about an hour and 15-minute drive each way, but it's close enough.
And you rode with this girl that was already going.
My friend Lori. She's a doll. And so I did that, and... that was when I got involved in the communications program there with the television and radio and started doing all of that. And that was, it was hard. It was fun. It was rewarding in many, many ways. And that was when Clint was almost 9. And that was when I realized that Clint was having severe problems in school.
And Emily was 12 by then.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, because she was almost a teenager by then.
And she was almost a teenager when she was 5. So, one of those kind of kids.
One of those kind of kids. But you, now, radio, television, they have a radio, television course at this college at East Texas State?
Oh, yeah, they have a whole program.
Really?
They have their own radio station and their own, you know, television station. The little college.
You didn't think you wanted to be on the air. You wanted to be a behind-the-scenes person, right?
Yes, but in their program, you had to be on the air.
Yeah.
Some. You had to DJ some, which I liked until I got thrown off the air for playing an inappropriate song.
So you actually sat at the board and played records and made announcements and talked on the microphone. And so you know how all that works, right?
Oh, yeah. I had a blast with it. It's a lot of work. It's not what people think it is.
No, it isn't.
I think that's the biggest, you know, impression they want to make on you is, you know, it's not a glamorous job. It's a lot of work.
Now, you alluded to the fact that they took you off the air because you played an inappropriate record.
Tell us that story, Carla, if you don't mind.
I was not aware that the F word was in this particular song.
Uh-huh.
And I slapped it in there, and I walked off to go to the bathroom. And because it was a long song, that's why I put it in there.
Let me ask you this. Was it a Jimmy Buffett song?
No, it was not. No, it was not a Jimmy Buffett song. I don't even remember what it was. It was something that another friend of mine had left a CD laying there. And she said, this one's 2 minutes and 32 seconds. And I was like, bingo, I've got to go to the bathroom. So, you know, pop that bad boy in. Well, no, the next thing I know is I didn't realize the dean was actually listening to the radio station, and he called my instructor, and so I got pulled off the air that day. But no, I did play, for my very last broadcast, my very last song, I did play a Jimmy Buffett song. I played It's Been a Lovely Cruise. That's one of my favorite Jimmy Buffett's. So.
Okay.
Kind of wrapped up that one.
And that ended your career as Carla the DJ.
Very much so. But that was never my ambition anyway, so I was really more interested in the public relations aspect.
Uh-huh. And was Laurie, this girlfriend of yours, was she involved in the same program?
Oh, no. She's now a elementary school principal. She was education.
Really? Okay, did you get a degree in communications from East Texas State Teachers College?
Did I?
Yes.
No, I didn't.
You didn't.
I ended up quitting because Clint had had several ear surgeries, different problems, and that was when we realized that Clint was really, really struggling in school. And I'm still a senior on paper, but I wouldn't trade that education for anything, but and I decided then that I needed to stay home with Clint, that he needed to be my focus.
Uh-huh.
And I'm glad I did.
Yeah.
And I really poured myself into that kid, and that was when I got very involved in PTO, classroom volunteering, you know, everything like that. And right along about that time is when I met Scott, who is the man in my life now and has been for 15 years.
Okay. So, but you quit college and decided you would devote most of your time to trying to educate your son, who was having some severe problems in as far as learning and those sorts of things.
Yes.
Well,
very.
That was admirable. I mean, that's what you probably needed to do at that time.
Oh, yeah. I think so. I realized that I could go to college anytime, but, you know, this little 8-year-old boy needed me now. And, I mean, what other choice as a parent? What do you have? I wasn't going to blow him off.
No, you needed to do what you did. And you were, I would be hard-pressed to know. You might have been able to make a living with your chosen degree, but it would have been certainly tough.
I realize that now too. I mean, you know,
yeah.
I look back and I think, what were you thinking? You know, I don't regret any of that stuff really. Also, the degree plan was turning out to be more and more demanding, more voluntary hours, more, you know, studio time, more, and it was just, I thought, this is not what they portrayed it to be when I signed up for this. And, I realized, too, that there was no way I could stick it out and still be in town for my kids. And, you know, so.
Well, yeah, but you're going to college an hour and a half from town, so it's 3 hours total both ways.
Yep.
And that's a hell of a commute for a legally blind girl, you know?
Yeah.
You think about it, depending on Laurie for rides. So you met Scott, who is the man you're married to now, right?
Right.
How did that happen? Where did you meet Scott?
The most bizarre friend we had in common introduced us.
Really?
So that's how that happened. And I was, of course, I had dated, you know, throughout, you know, going to college, and I was very particular about dating. I wouldn't let just anybody around my kids, or, you know, I wasn't looking for a dad. I wasn't looking for anything. And, of course, you know, when you're not looking for it, it jumps up and bites you on the behind.
Oh.
And, we started off as really good friends, and then it's just turned into more and more and more. And I'm extremely blessed.
But at this time,
not only did God find the perfect man for me, but his family, too, you know, has just opened their arms and welcomed me, my kids. Our families get along great. Yeah, I was very, very blessed.
But at this time, you still had a good bit of vision.
Right.
You were right. Legally blind, but you still had good partial sight.
Right.
And you had your CCTV and you had your computer, so basically you were high partial. You couldn't drive, but
right.
And then I'll tell you what, let's do. Let's take a little break, and then we want to talk about the time that you realized there would be no
okay.
more, that you were quote out of sight, quote unquote. Back with Carla Jo in just a minute. Hang on, more Blind Like Me. Blind Handyman List serve.
The thing I like the best about the Blind Handyman List, great place to exchange information and gather ideas on anything to do with being a handyman around the house.
I found out how to fix my garbage disposal on the Handyman List, and it worked.
If you'd like to join the Blind Handyman List, send a blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
The thing I like about the Blind Handyman List, I'm the moderator, and I can delete you if I want to. So don't get out of line. Stay on topic.
That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
With our last segment, Blind Like Me, I keep forgetting your last name. It is?
It's Thompson, but that's the name I kept that have the kids have.
That's
Scott has a different last name.
Okay.
And but I kept that one because of the kids. It was just
I keep calling you Carla Jo, and it's
fine.
Carla Thompson is the name you go by. From Denison, Texas, which is not that far from me. It's you're actually, I looked this morning, you're in the 903 area code, which is the same area code as Tyler. The same area code is the that is just north of me, and Tyler and Longview and all those are 903. So you're not that far. Anyway, Denison, Texas is where you call home. We have her quitting college, basically on her own with two children. But you've met the man Scott that turned out to be your future husband, right?
Yes.
All right. Well,
so. I was, you know, we've muddled along this and that, and we are all in this house together, and the kids are in school, and everything is going along, and a lot of people go, and you don't work? Well, yeah, I work my tail off right here, you know, and so as far as an outside job, no, I've always done a lot of volunteer stuff. We were very, very involved in our Sherman JCs, which is the town right next to us. But that's where Scott is from, is Sherman. Well, he's originally from North Carolina, but they moved to Texas. And so we did a lot of stuff with the JCs. I did a lot of stuff, volunteer stuff at our school. And so then I guess about 5 or 6 years ago, I was 38, yeah, probably 37, 38, I started noticing changes in my vision. And I would sit there and I would hold my hand up and I would move it and then I would realize I can't see it anymore. Well, I didn't realize Scott was watching me one day. And he comes up behind me and he goes, "What are you doing?"
Yeah.
And I said, "Nothing." And he goes, "Oh, don't lie to me. You know, what are you doing?" And I said, "I can't see stuff anymore." And he said, "What do you mean?" And I said, you know, there's parts that are gone. You know, they're just gone.
Yeah.
And before this, I had done volunteer stuff, guinea pig research for the Retina Foundation in Dallas. And that was when they had determined that this was, in fact, a genetic disorder in our family. And it was a cone rod dystrophy, which is what makes it all seem so scrambled, is that it's just bits and pieces are missing, so therefore bits and pieces of the vision are missing. And we had done a lot of family tracing, and then they had also identified the gene. So, you know, progress medically-wise that way for people in the future. And so I told Scott, I said, I'm really scared. You know, this is it. This is it for me. I just, you know. And it was a very quick succession, just boom, 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 just chunks gone all the time, you know. And I was just, it was constantly changing. I'm constantly adapting. I was extremely depressed. Went back to the Retina Foundation, and from looking at the stuff that I had done just, you know, 8 months before, they were like, oh, yeah, it's changing really, really fast.
So you were about to be 40 and about to be blind.
Yeah.
Face it.
And that's when I was just like, I thought, this is it. I'll just sit in this little house the rest of my life. And and I had been catering before that. That's another way I kind of subsidized part of my income. I love to cook. I had started Carlos Cakes and Breads. I baked a lot, sold a lot out of my home. I also catered some board meetings for different friends that work in different aspects, and would feed groups from 15 to 20, things like that. And so I just thought, well, I'll just, you know, bake as long as I can, and then I'll just sit here with my talking books, and I will just read, and I just won't do anything else, you know. So I was very, very, very depressed. Very depressed. In that period of time, we lost my father very, very suddenly. One of my mainstays, one of my true emotional supports all the way through. He and I had walked 5 miles the day before. We did this little walking track thing. And then the next day, he passed away from a heart attack.
Really?
Fertilizing his yard. Which I realize now that God just said, come on, let's go. And Daddy said, fine. And that was it. And it was hard for us. And that really sent me into a whirlwind depression. I just really went downhill.
So you lost you lost your father. You were turning 40. You lost your father. You were turning 40. You were also going blind.
Right.
If that isn't
in
enough.
In the middle of all this, Scott's mother was diagnosed with Alzheimer's.
If that isn't enough.
It's just like, okay, you know, what else? You know, so. That was when I decided, well, I'll just sit in this little house and, you know, whatever. So I sat in this little house for a while, and then my commission for the blind counselor sent a mobility instructor to my house. She had kept telling me, you need to use a white cane. I was like, no way. There's no way. You know, that was the last thing that I had, and I wasn't going to let it go, I suppose. I look back now, and I realize that's what I was doing.
Yeah.
And she said, you need it as an identifier, even if you still can see. And I'm like, you know, no way. So I had this wonderful guy named Shane Andrews come to my house, and he said, here's your cane. And I was like, whatever. And he said, let's go. And I said, no. I said, I'm not stepping outside of this house with that cane. You know, I said, I've lived here all my life. I've raised my kids here. You know, it would be like stamping freak on my forehead. You know, I said, everyone will stare at me. I'm not walking outside this house with this cane. And he goes, fine, let's sit down and watch Jeopardy. So we sat down and watched Jeopardy, and he was very patient. And so then eventually I started branching out. And that's another way that I think, you know, God puts the right people in your life at the right time. And he put that little guy in my life at the right time. He was very patient, but yet very firm. And then I realized this can open up a whole new world for you, and you're either going to embrace this or you're going to let it whip you. And I thought, I don't want to do this. I don't want to live like this. I want to do more. My kids are still young. You know, I've got too much I want to do.
Yeah.
It was affecting my relationship with Scott. It was affecting my relationship with everyone. And I thought, this is crazy. You either rule it or it's going to rule you.
Yeah.
So that was when I said, fine, let's rock and roll with the cane. And off I went. And I really haven't stopped.
but you'd given up. You had given up at that point in time the baking business, the catering
right.
business.
Right.
You gave that up.
It also wasn't making, I mean, it wasn't making that much anymore. My board meetings, their funding got cut, so that quit. And then I got this computer system that has JAWS and everything, and then that's when I decided I'm going back into the world, you know, and I'm going to go in it at a different angle. And if the baking thing kind of just panned its way out, it just kind of, I'm not going to say fizzled, but I just let it thin itself out to concentrate on more important things at that time. So
now this was, we're talking 3 years ago. We're not talking ancient history. We're talking
right.
3 years ago when you were against the cane. You wouldn't go anywhere. You didn't want to face the fact that you were blind and you were going to have to function as a blind person.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's
I just wasn't going to, you know. And then I realized, then you're just going to be miserable, and you're going to make everyone else around you miserable.
And you're going to make yourself miserable, and that's the way it's going to be. So you finally decided you could get around. Do you have any vision at all now?
I still have some. The left eye's pretty much gone. The right eye, it's so hard to describe. That's what I try to tell people, too, that I have just enough left to get me into trouble. It's just so patchy. You know, it's just bits and pieces. A lot of times I think, I wish I'd just go ahead and lose it all. You know, it would just be so much easier because sometimes it just gets in the way. You know, light shards will come through and you'll, you know, it's distracting almost. But, you know, it's there. It's bits and pieces.
But you were a reader before talking books and you still are an avid book reader.
Oh, yeah, that was one of the very first things my parents got a hold of, too, when I was in grade school, was the talking book program. So I read Ranger Rick's, Nature Magazine, you know, all that kid stuff, all that. I've always been a huge, huge reader, always.
Even
so, they found a way to keep nurturing that aspect, you know, of my life.
Because they were readers, and they realized how important it was.
Oh, yeah. We're all readers, you know, so I think it's a way to travel very, very inexpensively. My commission for the blind counselor said, I want to send you to San Antonio for a week of training at the Lighthouse for the Blind down there and let you check out some computers and software programs and scanners. And I said, okay. So I got my little white cane, and I got on the airplane. And Scott was standing there going, oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. You know, and he of course, was really very worried about me. And I had, you know, mobility instructions and things like this. And I was ready to go. And I land in San Antonio. This was last May. Not this past May, a year ago.
Uh-huh.
I land in San Antonio, and it's the last night of the Final Four basketball.
Oh my lord.
And there's a tornado on the ground, and the little sky cap guy takes me out to the wrong place for my shuttle. So here I have a big hang up bag and my big suitcase and my purse and my cane, and it's starting to really rock and roll storm.
Yeah.
And there's nobody there. I wait through, you know, like two or three cycles. And I can't really walk off and leave my stuff. And I've never been this blind this much on my own.
Okay.
And I thought, okay, you know, here we go. So I go towards where I can hear some people talking on down. And I said, could someone please help me get a cab? Well, within about 60 seconds, I was in a cab. And before I had left town, Scott had put my hotel information, my flight information, and all my important phone numbers on my little handheld cassette player, and I had that in my purse. And the cab driver goes, where are we going? And I said, just a minute. And I pushed play, and he listened to it, and he goes, I got it. So off we go to the hotel. Well, in the meantime, the shuttle guy is driving around, freaking out, calling back to the hotel, going, I can't find the blind lady I'm supposed to pick up.
Oh,
and
yeah.
There's a tornado on the ground. So, but that was another very good learning experience. I keep having those, and I know that they're there, so I do keep learning.
They're there for a reason. Listen, I hate to tell you this, but we're out of time. We have talked for an hour.
Hard to believe.
It is hard to believe. Your story is so, I don't know what to say, it's so wonderful. It's so, and it's just so heartwarming and so exactly what this program is all about. You could see, you began going blind, you eventually went basically blind, but you survived. And anyone, you can, it just takes tenacity. It just takes wanting to. You have to decide, make a decision. I'm going to be part of the world, or I'm going to sit home and read the rest of my life.
And it's an ongoing story. I have not quit. I still have so many more doors that I'm yanking open now. I'm not waiting for them to be open for me. I'm going for it.
Well, we're going to give you a year or so, and then we're going to come back and check in with your life and see how you've done. Carla from Denison, Texas, thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill.
That lady is so much what this program is all about. I mean, that is exactly the kind of story I'm looking for. I know they can't all be like that, but wasn't that a neat story? She survived, and I don't know. It's just kind of sad when she got a divorce when she was barely 30 years old and there by herself in a house in Denison, Texas. Denison would be about, I wonder what the population of Denison is. Probably about the same size as Lufkin. Probably 35,000, 30, 35, 40,000 people. And they probably have a bus service, so she was doing her. She did it. Anyway, we are going on our summer vacation as of right now, so this will be the last show we do until, let's see, when. This is being recorded today on the 21st of June of 2005. And so we're going to take our summer vacation and take about 3 weeks off. We go to Padre Island every summer, take all the kids and all the family and do that. And so we'll probably take off and probably be back the next weekend. We'll be back, let's see, Tuesday is, I think, the 19th, 20th, 21st, 22nd. I think on the 22nd and 23rd of July. But they'll run some old shows. And in the meantime, it is my plan to put together with the Blind Like Me show who the guest was. That is my plan between now and the time we come back, to get all those labeled. Whether I'll get it done or not, I don't know. Anyway, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, email me, phil@philpar.net. phil@philpar.net. We'd love to have you on the show. Be a couple of weeks. We'll see you then. Well, actually about 3 weeks, and we'll talk to you then. Have a good summer. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.